I'm going on vacation. Look at me. Woo! I got another week off. I was off the week before the 4th, and then I'm going to be off again next week. So I thought, well, maybe I'll do a show. You know, while I was on vacation, we were up at my in-law's cabin, and I met some, well, I know some people, but I met a person I hadn't met before. And we talked about signs and things like that. And I thought, you know, that's an interesting, because, you know, you'll see things in life and you'll wonder, well, is that really a sign? And one thing this person kept stating to me was that you really need to believe it. And that's a very good point. So that's what I'm going to talk about. When we start to believe things, more of it happens. And I would also add, there's one other factor that's pretty vital too, is that my experience is when you remove fear from that equation as well, because that's what holds a lot of it back. You can communicate with loved ones. You can have signs from them. You have to be open to it. And you also have to get past any fear whatsoever. And what worked for me, because I was probably afraid of this at one time, was that I thought, well, what's the worst that could happen? What's the worst that could happen? I could die. What's going to kill me, though? Nothing. So I always look at it like, what's the worst that could happen? I could lose my life in any situation. Oh, my goodness, we could have World War III. What's the worst that could happen? You could lose your life. But would I? No. Just my physical. So if you can kind of put it in that terms, at least for me, I find that I can accept things a lot easier. I know that's the most drastic way to look at it, but to me that works. What's the worst that could happen? You could die. Okay, good. That's not good. I'm not encouraging that. So that's the absolute, and then it kind of puts everything in perspective too, doesn't it? When somebody passes, in a way it's a great gift, I think, because it humbles us. At least it does me. And it makes me appreciate my life so much more. It makes me appreciate the person that's no longer there so much more. So in many ways, it's a great gift when somebody chooses to leave us. And I believe they do. I do believe we choose when we're born. I believe we also choose when we leave. It's like my friends, the Native American friends in Rapid River, told me when we did a Native prayer for my friend Jay, that he said, you know, our prayer does not help them, you know, stay or heal them. This just helps them decide if they want to stay. It makes it clear if that's their intent to go or if it's their intent to leave. And it was after we did that prayer that night when my friend was sick in 2007. I don't know how sick he was, but I found out the next day he died. So the prayer helped him pass, did it? I think so. I mean, what a coincidence. I'll tell that story. That's one of the things we're going to talk about in this episode, about signs. And I guess they can come in many different forms. You know, this person I met the other day up at, at the cabin, in near the cabin, Camp 7 cabin in Michigan. It's about, 40 minutes, 45 minutes from where I do this broadcast, something like that. Maybe a little more. I don't know exactly how far. I never really time it too much. But there are some people that have cabins around the lake, and we went and visited these wonderful people. We've known them for a while. They're also amazing. I have nothing but fantastic things to say about them, because they've been good friends and good people. And so I've known a couple of them, and then I met like Steve, and I met his wife Heidi. And Steve's very open to a lot of things, which I enjoy talking to him. And his wife was telling me about seeing a dragonfly and thought it had something to do with her sister. I thought, wow, that's really cool, because there's a story behind it. And so we started talking about different experiences, different things, and I told her some of the things that happened to me. And once I get started on that, I just go on and on and on. And I'm sorry to anybody that's ever had to listen to me talk about that crap, because I shouldn't call it crap, but just I go on and on and on, and it's like, I'm excited to share it with people and give them hope, which maybe they already have, you know. It's not like they need me to do that. You know, I think we all serve as reminders for each other, to help each other remember. We already know a lot of this stuff. So when we run into somebody else, it's like, oh yeah, okay, I remember. Yeah, you're right. I'm glad you reminded me of what I already know. So that's, I think, one of the greatest things we can do for each other is to kind of put us back on course, because we easily get off course while we're here. So what kind of signs are we going to talk about? Well, there's many signs you can look for with loved ones that have crossed over, if we're talking about ones that have crossed over. Often they'll leave feathers, like my mother did. My mother actually left a feather that wound up in the kitchen, and I was going, how did that get in here? And my psychic friend told me, your mom put it there. Did you find it? Find a feather recently? I said, yeah, in the kitchen, where it shouldn't be. She goes, yeah, that's your mom. But you know, they can do a lot of things, not just feathers. A lot of times they'll leave coins, dimes especially. So if you start finding dimes, my friend Susan, after her son passed, this is years ago, it was back in the 90s, and she was like a second mom to me, and she would share things with me. She passed actually not that long ago as well, but I had a connection with hers from the other side. And I'll tell you that in a moment. But Susan told me when her son Rick died at a very young age, and she was heartbroken, she would find change on his bed. Now, she said, you know, I had the kids sleep in here, his kids, the grandkids. But she said, there's no way they would be putting, well, it's possible, I guess, they could have lost it out of their pockets. But she really felt, and there was other things that showed up too, that were signs to her. You know, I think one of the things you can do right away is to, with your cell phone, is just go around and shoot a little video. If you see some orbs, that could be signs of loved ones being around you. When my father-in-law was sick with cancer in 2003, we took him to Mayo Clinic. Well, I didn't, they brought him there. And then my wife and I went and picked him up towards the end of his illness. And we timed it out. You know, the universe, the divine timing in universe is amazing, how things work out. But we were able to, you know, we had picked a time. My wife kept saying, well, when are we going to see him? When are we going to go see my dad? I said, let me think about it. I got to take some time off, and I got to work it out at work. And I just knew, like, somewhere in July that things would work out. And I took the time, and it just happened to be the time when Bob, my father-in-law, was getting released from Mayo, and he also was being released from the Hope Lodge, so he needed a ride home. And Shirley, my mother-in-law, she could have done it, but there's so much stuff to haul back. Plus, Bob was kind of woozy, you know. He was lightheaded, and he needed a lot of help. You know, nowadays they seem to release people, and they leave a lot of it up to you to kind of do the care at home. And I don't know if it's too soon. Sometimes I wonder if they're just doing that to save costs. So it turned out perfect. We got Bob back home, and then I had him open up some gifts that we had him for Father's Day. It must have been right around Father's Day that year. He had been gone for several weeks. I know he came back right around that time. But as he's opening up these gifts, I'm shooting a video of it just so, you know, we have something. And I don't shoot videos all the time. I'm not like one of those guys, hey, he's got the video. I just turn on my phone, and next thing I know, I see these orbs shooting out all around the phone. Now, this doesn't happen every time. Some of you say, well, it's dust. Uh-uh. Because I've shot over there twice at their house where I had orbs, incredible amount of orbs. And then after that, I've never had it happen again. And I've tried, and I've tried. So my point on it is, no, I don't think so. I don't think it's dust. So one time when we were, you know, when he's opening up these Father's Day gifts, there's all these orbs. And then shortly after that, we were playing, I don't know what it was. Maybe it was his birthday, and there was we were playing cribbage or something, and I decided to shoot video, and I saw tons of orbs just flying across my screen. And then I talked to my mother-in-law, and she said something to the effect of, you know, TJ, I saw some green orbs in the room the other night, because you were talking about that, and I saw these. And I said, she said, what do you think that is? And I thought, I said, well, no doubt it's somebody coming here to, it's either a spirit that you know, or somebody passing through, or, but I said, you know, green, that's the color of Raphael. He's the healing archangel. So I took it as a sign for Bob's healing. And all these orbs were around him, these spirits, because he was going through that illness. When somebody's sick like that, there's a lot of loved ones around us. That's what I'd take it. I wonder if people, you know, if you have somebody that's ill, maybe shoot a little video around them and see if you see all these orbs. Because I wonder if that happens a lot. You know, they say spirits around us when we cross over. Well, what about when we're ill? You know, is it possible? I think there could be some truth to that, because, boy, they sure were around Bob for the longest time. It was cool. And then he started to heal and he got better. He's not quite 100%, but he's a lot better. So orbs are one thing that you can see as a sign. Animals are another thing that you can get. And I can only speak from my own experience or others that have told me of things that they've seen, loved ones. There's the story I like to tell of Karen Sargent, a woman who used to work in Delta County. She was with the health department. And Karen told me that her mom loved cardinals, and that her mom said before she died, boy, if I could just come back as a cardinal, I'd love to, that would be awesome, because I could fly and do what I want. Now, Karen's mom passed away, and Karen was sad, and she missed her mother. And shortly after her mother died, she was out mending fences on her property, and she noticed a cardinal. And the cardinal proceeded to land close to her. And it proceeded to follow her from every fence to every fence that she went to. Now, the odds of that, you know, I can understand a bird showing up. And a lot of times it's a cardinal. It doesn't have to always be. Sometimes it can be something else. But they will come to us as animals. More often than not, it seems like birds. Now, there's no research to suggest that it could be other things as well. Butterfly. I'll tell you a story about a butterfly coming up. A sign, I definitely believe, is a sign from my friend Jay, who passed away. But first I want to tell you about the story of his life, how I interacted with him, and the signs that I saw after he passed away, because I was not afraid, and I asked for signs. I asked for him to communicate with me. So it was in 2007. I was asked to do a wedding for one of Jay's daughters. Now, I knew two of his daughters pretty well. And so at the wedding, I saw Jay, and I never met him before. He was the father, basically really the stepfather. But they loved him like a father, because he was always there for him. And he was really sick. And it just touched my heart. And I wanted to do everything I could to help him. I don't know why. Well, I do know why now. There's an answer to it. But at the time, I didn't know why. See, we're linked. We are linked, him and I. I didn't know this. We were linked from another time. Do you believe that? That we live other times? I come to find out that we were. At least that's what I was told. And that made sense. Why would I go out of my way to help somebody I really didn't know? Not that I wouldn't. But I mean, I spent a little bit of money, fair amount of money, to try to find a cure for him. And I think I did. There was this natural product you can take called Ambrotos by a company by Manatech. And they don't promise that it's going to heal you, because healing really is an inside job. But there's enough in it, it seems like, to give you the opportunity to heal if you can get past certain issues. And I think nobody will ever heal if they truly can't let go of anger, or maybe if you're holding on to depression, then anything you take is only going to be temporary. And this disease is going to come back, because the disease is there to tell you something's not right. That's why diseases show up, I believe. So anyway, I got this stuff. I gave it to him. He was really sick, and he started getting better. It's amazing. And he took a lot of it. It's all natural stuff. It's supposed to flush right out of your body whatever you don't use. And he seemed like he was getting better. But his doctor said, well, your PSA reading's a little high. We don't know what this is. You better stop taking this stuff. But you could tell by looking at the guy, he was healthier. He gained weight. He got his color back, his pain. Most of his pain went away, but, you know, eventually he started to go downhill after he stopped taking the Ambertose. It's Ambertose, and there was a few other products that he took, and it was from a company called Manatic, if you want to do research. I am not promoting them. I am not endorsing that they, because you can't. You don't want to go the route of endorsing something that can heal people, because if you do, you open up a can of worms. But I'm saying it might be worth looking into. We've talked about this on the shows before. There are several products out there. OPC3 is another one I've heard good things about. SEACT when dealing with cancer. There's many, many things that seem to help people. So anyway, Jay stopped taking the stuff, and he lived another 6 months. And he had always told me that he wanted to go to this native ceremony because he was kind of tired of religion. He had witnessed, he believed in the Bible. He read it all the time, over and over with his kids and everything. But he wanted to explore the native teaching of God, which I thought was pretty cool. And I had these friends in Rapid River that I would go see every so often. And I told them, next time I go, I'll bring you with me if you're feeling well. And so months passed. I hadn't heard from Jay. And then I heard from the people in Rapid. They were having a fire. Now, it's not a sweat lodge or anything like that. They're having a lodge. Everybody gets to sit around it, and everybody eventually gets a chance to talk. They give you an eagle feather. You throw tobacco in the fire to say a prayer, and then you speak whatever's on your heart. And I think this is such, it was just an amazing thing to be able to do that without being judged. So I called Jay to see if he wanted to go to this. It was a Saturday night. I think it was in November. And he didn't answer the phone. You know, also I had a dilemma that night too, because I was invited to a wedding by a couple of people I knew. And I thought, do I go to the wedding or do I go to... And you know, it's funny, the choices we make in life, huh? Had I not made the right choice, none of these things would have happened that are about to, I'm going to tell you about. So I just felt, you know, I really got to go to this event in Rapid and go there for Jay. And maybe he'll come with me. But he didn't answer his phone, so I thought, okay, now what do I do? I'm going to go. I'm going to go to Rapid River and go to the event, the fire, the lodge. So I went there with a heavy heart. And everybody got a chance to speak in the circle. They did some drumming. They did some singing. It was really cool, you know? It was just a very open and loving acceptance is the way I felt being in there, more than I have at any church I've ever been to. You just felt welcome, regardless of what you believed. And when it was my turn to speak, I took some tobacco and I threw it in the fire. And then I grabbed the eagle feather and I walked around the room. I kind of paced around the circle. It's a big teepee. So there's lots of room, and there are probably 20-some people in there, I would guess, maybe more. And I started talking about Jay, and they told me the native way to pray was to say the person's name. Throw tobacco in the fire and say their name. He says, we all focus on their name. And then they also told me that when you do that, you're helping them decide whether they want to stay or whether they want to go. Because ultimately, it's their choice. You can't convince them otherwise, but you can make it more clear. And that made a lot of sense to me, I guess. You know, because we pray to God and we hope that something is done, and then nothing is done. And we think, well, why did God not intercede? And why does he intercede on some prayers and not on others? What if that's not the truth? What if the case is that we have made that decision? We made a decision on when we're going to leave here. We can always change it. That's the good news. So if you see something like somebody says, hey, by the way, I'm the Grim Reaper. Today's your day. You can go, give me a pen. I'm going to change that. So what happened was, at the end of the night, after we got our native names, I stayed there till the very end. And that's when my friend Dwayne, who's been on the podcast before, he's a fascinating guy, a genuine human being, a down-to-earth. He's the real deal. He truly lives and breathes his ancient Ojibwa teaching, which I think is remarkable. It's such a teaching of love. If people, more people just were open to this, you know? So he said, I'm going to give you your native name. It's, I think it was Macadeus and Mequa, something to that effect. And I said, what does that mean? And he goes, Blackstone Bear. Okay, here's the thing about signs right here. My whole life I'd been dreaming about bears. I mean, they were chasing me when I was a kid, constantly, in my dreams. And I would close the door and lock it, and they would open it up, and they'd chase me through the house. I'd crawl out on the roof, close the window. They'd open the window, chase me back down. I'd jump off the house, the top, and it was only a story up. And then I'd jump, crawl back in the door, and this just kept going. And every time, it's like in my dreams, we'd be outside, and the next thing I know, I'm looking around, and I see these bears way off. And, of course, we had lots of property. So we had, like, this pasture next to us. And we had, like, 8-9 acres. And I would see way in the distance this bear. And I knew it. Once they showed up in my dream, it's like, oh, boy, they're coming to get me. Why were they coming to get me? And maybe as a kid, I saw a show on bears, and I was afraid of it. But there was more to it than that. Dwayne told me that the Blackstone Bear, the bear, when I told him some of these things, he says, oh, that's your native, your totem, your animal spirit, your animal guide is a bear. You know, it could be more than one, but for me, it was definitely one of them was a bear. And that made a lot of sense. I'd been dreaming about him. And I said, how did you know to give me that name? And he said, the old man whispered in my ear. And I said, what do you mean the old man whispered in your ear? He said, the man you're praying for tonight whispered in my ear. I said, Jay? And he goes, yeah. He was here. Now, one, he had never met Jay. He didn't know who Jay was. And Jay was an older man. He was in his 60s at the time, middle 60s. So for him to know that, and then the connection that we had, and the bears, pretty interesting stuff. So this ended about 1 o'clock in the morning, and I drove home thinking, not sure what to believe. You know, this was 10 years ago, and I was very open to a lot of things, but I was still kind of early in my understanding of some of these things. And they had mentioned that night that, you know, this would help him decide to stay or go. It was about 2 in the afternoon, I think, when Deanna, his daughter, called me and told me, my father passed away today. He was in a coma, we believe, at midnight. Now, if you know anything about people that are in comas, or at least I believe this is what happens, I saw it with my father. When we're in an altered state, whether it's a coma or a drug-induced, you know, like they're on morphine, a person can leave their body. We do it at night when we sleep. So let's say Jay was in a coma at midnight. They weren't sure that he had some kind of heart attack or something like that. And he left his body. Well, at 1 o'clock is when I got my native name. So, that certainly made me think that there was a connection there. That could have been, I wasn't doubting it. I mean, I believe stuff, but I have a little bit of doubt at first, like I think everybody, and it's healthy to have a little bit of doubt because it's too easy to buy a bill of goods that maybe, you know, aren't 100% accurate. So it's good to have a little, it's nothing wrong with being a skeptic. I think that's good. But sooner or later, you know, if you get hit over the head with a frying pan, you got to know that's a frying pan. That's not, yeah. So right after he passed away, I remember my in-laws were over that day and we were watching something on TV or whatever we were doing. And then later after they left, I remember saying to Jay in a prayer, I said, if there's anything you want to pass on to me, because I'm not afraid. I never have been afraid of spirits. You can come to me, and I'll pass it on to your family if you want. And, you know, I don't think he even did this for his family so much as he just did it because of his connection to me, which I didn't realize at the time had gone We've been friends for a long time, going back to other times, beyond this lifetime. So right after I made that statement, I was typing some stuff in this book I've been working on forever, and I walked away. I actually wrote in the, I said, Jay, if you're here and you want to communicate with me, here's your chance. I'm going to walk away from this for a few minutes, and now you can type something in there. When I come back, it'll prove that you're communicating with me from the other side. So I walked away. When I came back, nobody had typed. But what happened is the computer screen was locked up, and it was this fuzzy, I don't know, there's a fuzzy look on it, something I've never seen before. And I thought, what the heck? Did I get a virus, or is this thing broke? No, it just locked up for some reason. And it never, I don't think it ever did that again. And that's another thing. When you deal with spirit, they do things, and if it happens one time and it never happens again, there's a good chance you're dealing with spirit, you know? Good chance. So I restarted the computer, and it was fine after that. And it's funny because it was right while I had been writing about that. Now, what are the odds? So then, here I tell Jay he can communicate with me and do whatever he wants, and boy, I never should open the door on that. I'm glad I did, but shortly after that, two TV sets went. This is all in a 2 weeks' time. I woke up in the bedroom one morning, and Sandy, my wife, was already gone, and I'm seeing something out of the corner of my eye that's like, I don't know what it is. And I'm afraid to open my eyes or crawl out from underneath the covers. It startled me. Something was in the room. And it took me about 10 minutes before I realized, okay, I'm going to just see what this is. And it was gone. Now, I don't know if that was Jay or if it was something else. But I was startled at first. I wish I would have just looked. And then my TV sets, both of those went. One while the repairman was even over there. I blew a light in the bathroom. And that's no big deal, right? We have those go out from time to time. But then the weird part was the whole vanity went. Five bulbs. Now, they didn't blow the bulbs. The circuit breaker. Something caused the circuit breaker to go. And the only thing I can think of, it had to be a power surge because it never happened again. And this is what energy does. Spirit. It's energy, and they cause lights to go out, TVs to go bad, computers to have problems. And in this case, Jay blew my circuit breaker. I went downstairs, reset it. It never happened again, ever, in all the years I've been living there. And we've been there since 2001. Then the coolest thing out of all of this, and this is all within a 2 week span, and I swear it's true, I was talking to Jay's widow at the time and trying to comfort her and telling her some of the things I had experienced. And she was saying, boy, I sure wish I would have some things happen because I keep asking for it. Well, she did eventually. She did not too long after that conversation. She had a light in a cabinet that hadn't lit up for 2 years. It came on. And she still was doubting it, but I think she started to. So Diane is her name. And I was talking to Diane. And I stepped outside, I don't know, to get some fresh air while I'm talking to her. And I have a deck that's maybe, I don't know, 12 by 10 feet, something like that. At the very end of the deck was a chickadee, which birds sometimes are there, but it's pretty rare that they would be sitting there, especially when I open the door and walk outside. Now, I'm staying close to the door, which is way at the opposite end, but this chickadee is looking at me, and he is talking, a blue streak, not a blue streak like swearing, but I mean, he's talking nonstop. And I look, and I've got the phone in my hand. I'm going, Diane, you're not going to believe this, but I think your husband's trying to communicate with me. There's a chickadee sitting here, and he won't stop talking. And she goes, oh, well, you know him. He was always talking. He loved to talk. And so I'm watching this bird, and the bird leaves my deck, and it goes to my right, out of sight, towards the front of the house. And I said, well, he just flew away. And I walked over to the edge of the deck so I could see around the corner. And there he was, this bird, this chickadee, and it was hovering. Now, there's no way, I mean, a hummingbird, yeah, but not a chickadee. This bird was hovering near my living room window, and he was trying to look in it. That's what it appeared to me. I've never seen a bird doing this, other than a hummingbird. And I said, Diane, you're not going to believe this, but I think he's trying to see what kind of living room we have. I think he's checking out the furniture. And she's going, yeah, he was always nosy with everything. Jeez. And I don't know if she believes that it's him or not. And I watch this bird, and then it flies over by the garage. And he doesn't go in there, which I was worried, because it's like, oh, I'm going to have to get this bird out of there. But no, he's looking at my vehicle. It's like he's peeking in there. Now, there's another bird over close to him, and he's kind of talking to that bird. Very sociable, but then he's also looking in the garage. And I tell her this. He goes, oh, yeah, every time the neighbor's got a new car, he was always checking it out. like she knew this was all about him, you know. And then this bird, the same bird, flies up on a wire about 6 feet above my head that comes into the house, 6 or 7 feet above my head. And he looks right at me. And he says a few more things for maybe 10 seconds, if that. And he flies off. And that's it. But to me, and hopefully to Diane, and anybody else I told this to in his family, hopefully they realize, wow. Definitely, you want a sign? You want to hear it? You want to get a pretty good sign? I think he was showing me. Okay, I'll give you a sign. And this is a sign you won't forget. Sometimes we just get a little short sign. Sometimes it's just brief. Other times, I don't know. Jay gave me a big sign that day. And then it was, and he gave his family members too. There was a story that his one daughter, Tara, told me about. She went for a walk, and she had surgery, and she had some kind of stitches somewhere near her abdomen area, I believe. And when she bent over to pick something up, they popped. She heard the pop, and she was in pain, and she was bleeding, and she didn't think she'd make it home. She was about a mile from home. And she was out in the country, and there was nobody around on this old dirt road. I think it was a dirt road. And she heard her dad's voice, and he told her to get up. Get up, and you can make it. You can make it home. And she did, and she really feel he saved her life. He inspired her. Maybe he actually even lifted her, because she said, I don't know where I got the strength to do this. And I look at it, and I think, what if Jay had not died? What if he had chosen to live? Would he have been able to save his daughter? So you start to wonder and think, there's so much more to this that we don't always see when somebody leaves. At least that's what I saw. It's like he must have deliberately knew that this was coming up, and that's why, even though he could have saved his life by taking the Ambertos, there was something else coming up that he knew he had to be there for. That's the way I interpret it. Maybe it's totally wrong. So then it was maybe, I don't know, a couple of years after that. You know, things go on. We move on with our life. And you don't think about things. But one day I was thinking about Jay. It's funny because maybe I'd started thinking about him for a period of time, because I have to remember exactly how this went. What I do know is that the gal who was our receptionist at the front desk, Anna, was a friend of Jay's grandson, Jared. And out of the blue, Anna says to me, oh, by the way, I ran into Jared today and he wants to say hi to you. He says he knows you. I said, oh, that's great. I didn't think much of it, but I hadn't heard anything about any of them in a couple of years, or at least a year, which is fine. They moved on with their life. I don't expect that we keep in contact. And within 2 days, I had this most incredible sign from who I believe was Jay. Now, at the time, I wasn't sure, but the incidents that happened before and afterwards kind of told me. So before I talked to Jared, after this butterfly incident, I talked to his mother now, and she just called me out of the blue. But the butterfly incident that took place when I'm sitting on my deck, maybe there's some kind of spiritual thing going on my deck that I'm not aware of. Why does it happen there? I'm just trying to have a beer. No, I was sitting there on the deck. It was a beautiful day. And I saw this butterfly, and he started flying towards me. And like, I have never had an interaction like this with a butterfly ever. And this butterfly was flying near my face. It's like he was in love with me. And I was laughing. I said, "What are you doing? Stop that." You know, he was getting near my mouth. I'm trying not to swallow him. It's like he's all around me. He just wanted to be near me. And you could really, I felt that this was some kind of connection. Somehow this butterfly had some kind of connection to me. And finally I said, "Hey, will you just land somewhere?" It landed right by my foot. Now, I had my feet on this footrest, and it decided to land right next to it. And it just seemed content, happy and content that it was by me. And of course, you know, when I interact with animals outside or even insects or butterflies, I don't chase them away. If they're not bothering me, I would never bother, you know, I don't bother them. And of course, butterflies don't bother. But, you know, people might get upset with flies or little bugs. Or I don't. If they're leaving me alone, I have no desire to hurt them or do anything. So the butterfly sat there, and I was thinking, this has to be some kind of sign, a connection from somebody on the other side. And I thought, why not just ask? Why not just ask to see who this is? Now, how am I going to find out who it is if I ask? He's not going to speak to me in English. "Yes, I happen to be so-and-so, and I passed away." That's not going to happen. So what I did is I asked him to open and close your wings. How many letters are in your first name? Open and close your wings the amount of times for the letters. Does that make sense? Seems easier when I thought about it. So he opened and closed his wings three times. And, well, I thought Jay, because I just talked to Jared, you know? Or I didn't talk to him, but Jared left a message. And I thought, I wonder if this is Jay. And I said, "What is your last name? Can you open and close your wings for the amount of letters in your last name?" And he opened and closed his wings four times. Jay's last name, which I won't mention now, his last name had four letters in it. Is that a coincidence? Boy, that sure is an odd coincidence, isn't it, if it is? And then to top it all off, 2 days later, or maybe a day later, his daughter Deanna calls me, and I hadn't spoken to her in a year. And so, for me, and maybe you don't see it that way, it's very obvious, the signs. And we all can get them. And the reason I think I got them, because I asked for it, and I'm open to it. I'm not afraid of it. And maybe I'm more aware than some people are. But that doesn't mean that everybody can be that way, you know? We all can become that way. I don't know. It just seemed like things started happening more and more. You know, the more I got into, as I got older, you know, I didn't have a lot of psychic experiences in my 20s. I think I did when I was a kid. Strange things happen. But my 30s, my 40s, my 50s now, yeah. And it seems like more and more and more they happen. Signs, 2008, maybe. It was right around that time with Jay, 2000, somewhere in there. I saw this eagle. Yeah. People can see an eagle. That doesn't mean anything, does it? No, not always. I agree. Just because you see something doesn't mean something. But it was in 2008, and I was coming home from the radio station, and I had to go home and change because I was headed to a live broadcast. We call them remotes. I had to do a remote at a business in town, but I wasn't wearing a radio station shirt. So I wanted to at least put one of those on. So I drove all the way home, which is about 15 miles. I know, but I had time to do it. And when I got home, you know, we live pretty close to railroad tracks, and I pulled up to the tracks just off the highway, and I saw this eagle, and the eagle was staring at my house, staring right at it, which I thought was a bit unusual. And he was 20 feet away from me on the tracks. I mean, I could have thrown a rock. And I looked at him. First, I rolled down the window and I said, "Hey, buddy, hey." And he did nothing. I thought for sure when I rolled down the window, he was going to fly away. I mean, that's weird, don't you think? And then I went, and you know, my mom always made that noise with animals, and they always seemed to respond. She would always do that with little chipmunks, little, and they'd all look at her. And she was so good with animals. So I made that noise, and the eagle turns his head, and he looks at me. And he looks at me like, he was going to say, "You're pissing me off." That's what it looked like he was saying. It looked at me like he was saying, "What do you want?" It's like I was bothering him. I wouldn't say I was angry, but he had a glare. I don't know about you, but he made eye contact with me, and then he turned his head back towards my house. That's weird. And he didn't fly away. Now, I had to get back to town because my remote, my live broadcast started at a certain time, and I was running out of time. I wanted to stay and watch this eagle the whole time, but, you know, I had to get going. So I drove into my, you know, stopped my truck another 70 yards or so, wherever, how far our house is from the tracks. It's too close, if you ask me. 70, 80 yards, and I went in the house, got changed, came back out, hopped in the truck. I figured the eagle would be gone, you know. And I pulled up to the tracks. Now I'm on the opposite side, so he's out my passenger window, this eagle. And I see this vehicle pulling down the tracks. It's coming down the tracks, and it's a truck. It's one of those trucks that they fitted to be on the tracks, and you see them all the time. And these two guys get out, and they're carrying, one of them is carrying a burlap bag. And I said to the guys, "Can you believe it? There's an eagle there." And this eagle still hadn't moved when these guys pulled up and got out of the truck. And they go, "Yeah, we know. We think he's hurt. We're going to catch him and bring him to an animal raptor, somebody that can help him." You know, at the time, I didn't think about it, but how did these guys even know? Was this eagle there for hours during the day? And how would the people from the train company know that there's an eagle, unless somebody called it in, that there's an eagle on their tracks, and they better go do something to help them? Plus, eventually, if a train came by and that eagle didn't move, so it just baffled me. I didn't think about it at the time. How did these guys even know? Secondly, I'm thinking, there's no way, if this eagle's hurt, that little burlap bag, you are going to get torn to shreds. So I don't know what you're thinking. But I just watched this play out. I figured, well, I got enough time to watch this and see if this really is something, if it's a message. So they got within about 10 feet, maybe 15 feet of the eagle. Again, I was 20 feet away in my truck. One was walking right down the track. The other one was walking in the ditch. The guy with the burlap bag, I don't know if he was the one in the ditch. Maybe. But the eagle just flew off to a tree. It wasn't hurt. It was absolutely fine. And I never heard anything after that about if the eagle was injured or anything. So I thought long and hard, what does that mean? What was this eagle trying to tell me? And then I found a book. And to me, it's one of the most incredible books that are out there. And it's called Animals Speak. And I don't know who the author is, but it's based on Native American teachings of what animals tell us. And a lot of times it's our animal spirit guide that they're talking about. But it could also be just contact with animals. And it says a lot about each animal. So you have to determine, one, maybe the direction the animal was at. Two, the direction the animal was compared to you. And then also take away something within that reading. It could be like three pages. You've got to figure out what they're trying to say. There's a lot that they say about eagle. Eagles are really, first and foremost, when you see an eagle, it's an awakening. It's an awakening. Well, it is, because it's, for one, it's a spiritual connection. If somebody's communicating with you, isn't that an awakening? So it's part of that, to awakening to a greater truth. And then, because they say that the eagles fly the highest and they are closest to God and connected to Him. That's kind of the native teaching. You know, it's fascinating. Years ago, I might have dismissed it, but now I see so much truth in it. And it's not every native teaching. Just certain ones seem to have a greater understanding that has been around for thousands and thousands of years. Especially if it's about love and helping others and good things like that. I really find that all very interesting, fascinating. And the part I read about the eagle that made sense to me was about the eagle talons. They talked about those of you with the eagle medicine, remember that the talons are very sharp and your words could be very sharp. So if an eagle shows up in your life and you have to deal with someone in your life right now, use your words carefully because your words could tear them apart. And I thought, wow, that was a situation I was dealing with at the time. And it made so much sense. So I followed the advice of the eagle and everything turned out good. And I truly believe that that eagle was sent to me to give me that opportunity. Now, the same thing I would say with deer. Now, this necessarily doesn't mean that it's a loved one. It could be. But I noticed when I get upset about things, when I first moved out to Wilson, Michigan, 15 miles away from Escanaba, where I do the broadcast, I hit a lot of deer. I probably hit 6 deer. I feel bad for doing that. But I also began to notice that every time I was upset is when I hit these deer. And I read in Animal Speak that the deer are there to teach us gentle strength. So when somebody pushes your buttons, instead of acting out of anger, you can use gentle strength. Because anger actually, it makes you sick. So there's another reason not to act out of anger. Yeah, I mean, we're going to get angry, all of us. But try to avoid it as much. Realize you don't have to. You know, it's a learned behavior. So you can be very powerful. I always admired the people that were firm and strong and didn't let their emotions, because I've always been an emotional guy. I've always been my whole life. Sensitive and emotional. And you know, when you're younger, you try to hide that a little bit because you don't want kids to think, well, he's a little weakling, you know. But now I don't care. You know, it's like you can say whatever you want. I know who I am. I'm comfortable with that. And it doesn't make me any less of a man or a human being. And men don't have to be certain things. You know, when I was growing up, they always said, well, a man's got to be this and all that. And I thought, if that's the case, I don't know if I want to be a man. It's like, really? You know, my father had this image of, he painted this image that men had to be a certain way. And it's like, well, no, they don't. They really don't. Just be a loving being. So the deer, I felt, were jumping out in front of me to warn me. One, about my health, if I didn't change my attitude about things. And two, that there you have so much more power and gentle strength. When you stand in the truth and you use gentle strength, plus it's the way to live life. It truly is a higher way, I believe, to live life. You don't have to run around screaming at everybody. And if somebody offends you or does something, you know, it's what you make of it. If somebody were to make a rude insult to me, there was a time I would have been very angry and I probably would have said something back just as rude. And now, it's not a big deal, you know, most of the time, because hopefully along the way, as we get older, we learn to let go of our egos and we realize none of that stuff, that's really not me anyway. You know, I'm just in this meat suit. Sooner or later, I may not be in it anymore. So none of this stuff that's important now will matter. You know, my father-in-law always says, 100 years from now, it won't matter. He's right. He's absolutely right. Other people have said that too. 100 years from now, 1,000 years from now, none of this It always cracks me up how these people want to leave a legacy, these famous people or the presidents. He wants to leave a legacy. You know, I bet 1,000 years from now, none of that's going to matter because they probably won't remember him. Think about it. Maybe 1,000 years they will. What about 10,000 years from now? So sooner or later, what difference does it make? Unless you leave a legacy, and even then, you're not going to be here to worry about it. But, you know, one of love and creating something better for everybody else. You know, that's cool. But otherwise, again, it doesn't really matter. I don't see why it would matter. We're not going to be here at that point. Unless we reincarnate, right? Come back. Then, but, you know, it's not about serving ego. So those are the signs, some of the signs. And I've heard many, many, many stories of people that have had signs. It can come in any form, really. I had a, maybe you're going to think this is foolish. You probably already do. But I had a fly. I've been writing this book. I've been wanting to finish it for a long time, and I really believe I'm meant to do. And it's about the spiritual connections I've had, the encounters with spirit, both my father, my mother, Jay, and others. And it's just about love, about the love that exists for all of us on the other side that's waiting for us, and how we can, you know, they can communicate with us. So I was writing a chapter about my father, and I've rewritten this book probably, I don't know how many times, four times, five times, because I start reading, I go, that's stupid, and I'll start over. Well, that's not, you know, I try to be a little funny sometimes because I'm kind of a goof sometimes. And, you know, just I just let it flow. That's when it works the best, you know, without trying to be anything. So I'm writing about my father, and it's a fascinating story. I've told it before about how he came back to me after he died and communicated with me in a dreamlike state. But while I'm writing about my father, this fly out of nowhere shows up and it lands right next to me. And he starts crawling around my hand while my hands are on the keyboard. And I'm thinking, what is this fly doing? Well, I mean, obviously, that's what flies do, don't they? But the thing, the weird thing about it is that he crawled around the palm of my hand. And he was so gentle and slow, he wouldn't leave. And I was able to close my hand and open it at will. And he didn't fly away. I found this quite bizarre. And he's like he was in love with me. I'd leave a little hole where he'd crawl out my finger, and there you know, he'd crawl out, but he wouldn't fly away. Was this my dad communicating with me through a fly? I thought it was. Why not? If you have signs that you want to tell me about, you know, I think it gives people great comfort to know that their loved ones are okay. Or just that God is communicating, or angels are communicating with them, or spirit guides, or whatever. There are beings that love us we don't even know about. And they can be guides that we don't know, at least we don't remember. There's angels, there's archangels, there's loved ones that we maybe have never met, because they died before we were born, but that doesn't mean that they're not around us. So, if you have something you want to share, I'd love to hear about it. And you don't even have to come on with me. If you just send me, write something up, and if you're too nervous, a lot of people are afraid to do that. I understand. I truly respect that. But I'd love to share your story, if you have a story you want to share. You know, I was reading in George Norrie's book about, he wrote about all these angel experiences, the people that have been on his show, and they had angel, and they've had all different times of encounters, loved ones. So I thought it'd be kind of neat if some people, you know, if you want to share something with me, I'd be glad to. You can either come on, you can be part of my show. If you'd want to, that's up to you. You don't have to, but wouldn't that be nice? Or you can just send me an email, and you can communicate, basically contact me right through my website there. Otherwise, tj2@up.net. How about that? That's my private email, tj2@up.net. if you have a story. I'd love to share a ton of stories with people because it lifts all of us up. It reminds us that there's something more. And I think that's the greatest thing we can do for each other is remind each other. We already know a lot of this stuff, don't we? It's good to be reminded. Thanks for listening. And thanks for sharing. Hopefully, I'll hear some things. Have a great day.